Well, we're going to continue our series of Be. We did Be Kind, we did Be Generous, and today we're going to do Be Courageous. And I'm excited about this one because, you know, no matter where we're at or what we're going through, we all have the opportunity to be courageous in our life. And, you know, when you think of courage, you might think of somebody who's not scared of anything. Wow, they have a lot of courage. They're not scared of anything. Or somebody that swims with sharks or jumps out of planes or surfs big waves. I've surfed big waves a couple times in my life, one time in Fiji and then another time in Hawaii. I ended up surfing in Haleiwa, but there was a big storm and sunset was like 25 foot. And I'm like, I'm going to surf it. So I grab my board and I run up to the shore and the shore breaks triple overhead. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, huh. So I grab my board and I run out and try to duck dive onto the thing and it flings me back up onto the beach. So I get up because I'm tenacious like that and I run out and I try to do it again and it flings me back up onto the beach. So I do it a third time, same thing, flings me back up onto the beach, and the lifeguard drives up on his ATV and goes, brah, listen to what the ocean's trying to tell you, brah. And I'm like, you know what? That's wisdom. You're right. I think I'm going to listen to what the ocean's trying to tell me and just put my surfboard away. God. But hey, even attempting to surf 25-foot sunset takes courage and a little bit of stupidity on my part. But that's, to be honest, courage is when people face adversity or even a challenge, and even though they're scared, they go through with it. Like they walk it out. Courage is being scared. And even though you're afraid, you walk it out anyway. You go for it. That's courage. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So that means that when I'm afraid, because I have feelings. I mean, we all have feelings. God gave us feelings, and our feelings are valid. But if I'm afraid of something, that's not from God. God has given me a spirit of power. Okay. So that you mean when I said yes to Jesus, when I said yes, Lord, with the little bit of faith that I have, that you came and you lived a sinless life and you were crucified on the cross and you were resurrected from the dead. You're alive today and you're coming back with what little faith I have in that. I ask you to come into my life. And I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Change me, God. God is faithful to impart that spirit of power inside of me. So now I have the opportunity to operate with that spirit of power in my life. It's not my doing. It's who is in me. How about a spirit of love? Of power and of love. So now I have the ability to, even when I get angry or I get upset or somebody does me dirty, and I still have the opportunity, because I'll have the feelings, I'll get upset, but I don't have to live there. God has given me the power to love anyway. So it's now I have the option of living in a, of having the courage enough to love somebody for who they are, where they're at, no matter what. I get the courage to choose that instead of resentment, bitterness, anger, vengefulness, and the spirit of a sound mind. Thank you, Jesus. I needed that. And I don't know about you, But I still have this. I wouldn't call it a gift. I don't know what you would call it. But I have the capability to make up a whole story about you that didn't happen. You weren't even there. And make it real to myself. And I could get angry about it. But see, God has given me the power of a sound mind. So when I start to make stuff up in my head nowadays, I could say, oh, no. No, 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 no. There you go again. That's not true. That's not noble. That's not praiseworthy. That's not righteous. That's not love at all. I choose to be grateful today. I choose to look at the good in this situation or this person. I don't have to buy into the story, the lie that I can concoct. You can blame it on the devil, whatever you want to do. Those things that fly through our head that concoct their own little story about your reality. Does that make sense? Paul wrote this scripture to Timothy when he was in prison, but it wasn't just like house arrest prison. This was a dungeon. This was dirty. He knew he was going to die. This was it. This was about before he was executed. And he still said, God has given not a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. See, Paul tapped into that peace that surpasses all understanding, giving him the courage to face life on life's terms, even in that moment where life didn't look so great. But he gave him the courage to do that. There's many ways to be courageous, some obvious, some not so obvious. But I'd like to identify four different forms of courage today, and I'll use scripture and I'll use jacked up people in the Bible just like us to use my examples. People that were courageous. So I want to talk about having the courage to face the giants in your life. We'll start with little David. He wasn't King David yet. He was little David the sheep herder. There's thousands of people or soldiers. There's thousands of soldiers lined up. The Israelites, and then there's thousands of the Philistines. But the Philistines have this gigantic, massive warrior guy named Goliath. It's got everybody shaking in their sandals. They're afraid because what they're seeing, the odds are against them. It's unbeatable. They're looking at something that they look at and see there's no way. Why even try? We can't win. We shouldn't even fight. We're scared. We're just going to be petrified in our fear. But David, see, David had been intimate with God. David had been hanging out with him. Was he perfect? No. No, he was not. He made a lot of mistakes in his life. But see, he had this intimate relationship with God, so he knew the God that he served. So King Saul, he's talking to King Saul, king over the armies. And David runs up to Saul and says this in 1 Samuel 17, 32-37. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a young man. And he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." You see, David had experiences with God before. God, and you might be going through experiences right now, tough ones, adversity that you're needing to overcome by trusting God, by doing the right thing, by taking the high road, by having faith in Him that He's going to see you through it. But all these things, none of it's in vain. You see, all the things that David had gone through in his life, the lion and the bear had prepared him for this day to face his giant, because we will face giants in our life. Things that we see with the natural eye that it looks impossible, but all things are possible with God. Amen? And so when I'm talking about courage today and facing our giants, I'm talking about, and everything that I'm going to share today is based upon, our intimacy with God. It's who we know. It's who we belong to. It's who we trust. We put our faith in Him and His power. Because ain't nothing on this earth more powerful than God. There ain't nothing, period, more powerful than God. He knows the end from the beginning in your life. That gives us courage. When we understand that, because when you're in the mix, when you're looking at the giant, you're going to need some courage, because your fear might crawl up on you. And that wouldn't be out of the norm, would it? You might get afraid by what you see. David had he had experienced adversity and challenges, and had showed him the faithfulness of God. It also prepared him for that day that he fought Goliath and killed him. You see, even in our darkest times, God uses all of our experiences, everything that we learn in the valleys and the desert, God uses to prepare us for our giants. When I'm talking about the valleys, that's where you learn. There's not a whole lot of, there is struggle. There is just a learning curve. You are going to make mistakes, and things will seem really hard at times, but you can't skip the valley to get to the mountaintop. Everything in the valley that you learn is not in vain either. Wherever you're at in your life, whatever you're going through, none of it's in vain. God will use it. He will use it to bless you with wisdom, because you're learning stuff through these times. But He's got a bigger plan for you. And it's good. And you will stand on the mountaintop. And all that stuff that you learned in the valley, you'll be able to reach your hand down, somebody going through that same valley, and go, hey, this is how I got through that. It's all for a purpose. You see, David knew what Paul knew when he wrote the Roman church in Romans 8:29-31. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. What shall we say then? Because we are predestined, called, justified, and glorified. What shall we say? But if God be for us, who can be against us? Amen? Amen. Look, when we get the right perspective of who God is, and how important we are to Him, we can face our giants in our lives with courage. We have the courage to face them. It's not what we can or can't do. It's because he loves us and we're his. Amen? So that, and like I said, everything that I'm going to share intertwines together today. So now I want to talk about having the courage to stand in faith when what you see and what you feel make you afraid. Having the courage to stand in faith when what you see and how you feel are making you afraid. This is my life verse, and Sandy shared it this morning. I share it with you all the time because it's gotten me through a lot of tough times. And I recite this verse constantly. It's Romans 8:28. And we know that all things, not some things, not everything, but that one thing, all things, God works for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. That's us. That's us. That means nothing that goes on in my life is in vain. It means the sucky things that happen aren't just the sucky things that happen. They suck, and it sucks going through it, but it's not in vain. God will turn it for good somehow. That I can have faith in. And that gets me through. That gets me putting one step in front of the other. Every day is a new day. And God's in control. It gives me hope. It gives me courage. But how do we do this? It requires a spirit-filled life, right? Intimacy with God. Hi. Because if I don't, because I don't know about you, but life happens, right? Life happens. You get busy. You're not reading the word as much. Maybe you're not praying as much. Maybe even your church attendance has been spotty. It's all right. I'm not saying any of that to condemn any of us. Happens to the best of us. But what happens when that happens? I start thinking, I'll lean towards the negative. All of a sudden, I'm looking at what I don't have in my life and what I don't like about you. You know what I'm saying? It's just the way it goes. If I'm spirit-filled, if I've been in the Word or in God's presence or hanging out with you, fellowshipping, worshiping God, I'm much more apt to stay in that spirit, to remember that I can have the courage to have faith today, no matter what happens. Even if my eyes see the ship is going down, and I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know you're going to do it. I've said that too many times to God. I don't know how you're going to fix this one, but hey. So I can get some sleep tonight, I give it to you. It's a blessing to get to do that. Here's a guy, his name's Joseph. Same thing, and it's a long story, so I'm going to paraphrase this because we only have so much time. But Joseph was his father's favorite. He gave him this coat of many colors, and his brothers hated him. God gave him a vision. God gave, here's my calling on your life. Here's in a dream. He tells the dream to his brothers. His brothers hate him even more, and they wanted to kill him, so they threw him in the pit. They didn't end up killing him, but they sold him into slavery. So here's Joseph in a pit. God gave me a vision, He could have been like, well, so much for the vision. Look at me, I'm here. My brothers hate me. Everything sucks. But he didn't. They sold him into slavery. He ended up being in Potiphar's house. And instead of having a bad attitude and stealing from Potiphar and only working 2 hours and writing down that he worked 8, he took the high road to honor God. even, that wasn't fair. What happened to him wasn't fair. But he took the high road in the unfairness. The hand that he got dealt was unfair. But he said, I'm going to honor you anyway. Learned how to run Potiphar's house flawlessly. So he got favor. And it's amazing. When you do things to honor God without looking around for attaboys or attagirls and just do it and honor God, do it, how much favor you'll get from others in your life. Without looking for it, without asking for it, the favor just comes. So he learns how to run Potiphar's house flawlessly, but his wife, Potiphar's wife, is all, hey, let's hook up. And he's like, nope, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to sin against God, and I'm not going to sin against your husband. So she lies, says he tried to rape her, and they throw him in prison. So now Joseph's like, man, I mean, he could totally easy just be like, I can't win for losing. Just forget it. First, I'm sold into slavery. Now I'm in the pen. But he doesn't even do that. He continues to honor God right where he's at. Does things with excellence and learns how to run the prison now. Until the Pharaoh has a dream. Joseph totally hooks him up on the dream. And the Pharaoh has him ending up running the country. So he goes from the pit to the palace. But see, you can't skip the in-between. He learned so much between the pit and the palace. And he had faith in not what he saw, but what God had been speaking to him. He learned how to run a house. Then he learned how to run a little bit bigger of a house, a prison. So he could run a country. He learned in that valley. And he had faith in God's word over his life, not what he was going through. And not what he saw with his own eyes. Does that make sense? We get to do the same thing, you guys. No matter where you're at, maybe you've been dealt an unfair hand. Honor God in that. Take the high road. Be honest. Do things to the best of your ability to honor God. And you'll have favor. And I trust and believe because God had even a bigger plan. That's not like the end of the story right there. God was doing something massive in that. And he's doing something massive in our lives as well. We're a part of that. There's no books of the Bible being written about us today, but there could be. We're the same kind of people they were, just a new culture. Maybe some different problems, but we're all still trying to do the best we can in this sinful world, waiting for Jesus to come back. Amen? Isaiah 32:17 says this, the fruit of that righteousness, taking the high road, being honest, loving people, forgiving them, having grace, the fruit of that righteousness will be peace. And its effect will be quietness and confidence forever. You know, it's amazing. Compare, you know, the chaos that was going on in my life, how it's quieted down since I've been walking with God. And the more that I am obedient to his word, it seems the less drama goes on in my life. Crazy, right? Coincidence? I think not. How we live in the valley will dictate what kind of mountaintop we stand on. So, as you go through your stuff, don't remember not to put all your stock in what you see. Put your faith in God. Take the high road. Be honest. Do what you say. Say what you do in honor of Him, no matter what you see, no matter what's going on, and God will prevail. Next, this is my favorite one because it's going to make everybody squirm a little bit. Having the courage to change. The courage to change. Change is scary. You've been living one way your whole life. You've come to find out it doesn't work anymore. And now it's time to learn something new. Change. I remember when I got saved, walking down the street, and like, you know, brand new, kind of, you know, like, you know what I mean? It's like all the world ain't out of you yet, kind of thing. You said yes to Jesus, like I said yes to Jesus, and I filled with the Holy Spirit. I experienced Him. It was awesome, and I just. But, you know, I remember walking down the street, and oh, my gosh, I know too much now. Like, I know too much. It was a weird feeling. It was the reality that I knew God just enough to where going back to the old stuff wasn't going to be just flippantly easy anymore. It was a trip. I had changed. Change requires something dying in order for something new to grow. And that can be painful. Our relationships have suffered. Our feelings have ran our lives. Anger, selfishness, and all the other attributes of self have left us wanting. We carry the damage of our past into our right now. And because of fear, we stay the same. We try new people, new places. Some of us that are a little more insane try the same people in the same places. Only expecting different results, but everywhere we go, there we are. Our stuff that we drag in to our relationships and our circumstances, unless we do something different, unless we change, unless we have the courage to try something new, nothing will change. And you know, as far as relationships go, do you know if one person changes, the relationship changes? You don't have to rely on, well, if they would just get their act together, we'd have a good relationship. You don't have to wait. You can make that change. You can have the courage to step out and begin to change. And that, I'm telling you, it will affect that other person. The way you interact will change because you've changed. You're changing. You're trying something new. It's not the old song and dance anymore. You're trying something new. I want to look at a radical change in the Bible. It's in Acts 9. It's when Saul meets Jesus and becomes Paul. Saul's a murderer of Christians. He's a bad dude. I was a bad dude. Paul makes me feel good about my life. Whew. If Jesus will do it for him, man, he'll do it for anybody. But Paul meets Jesus on the road to Damascus. Verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." See, Paul has a radical experience with Jesus. He's been one way his whole life. Everything just changed. I mean, changed in a big way right there on that road. And what does Jesus tell him? Jesus tells him to go now that you've had the experience with me, and you'll never be the same again. I want you to go, and I want you to learn about the way. Because even though Paul was a Hebrew of Hebrews, he knew the law. This is a new thing. This is the new covenant. This is grace. This is love. This is mercy. This is something he had never experienced before in the law. So Jesus says, go ask for help and learn. Sanctification. See, salvation, positionally, we're good. It's free. You can't do nothing to earn it. Can't do nothing to unearn it. Positionally, awesome. Sanctification is a process. That's the dying to the old and letting new grow in us. That's stopping doing it this way. And we're going to start trusting God and what he says and doing it this way. It's a process. And we're all in different spots, and that's cool. But understand that it is a process, and we need to have courage to change. We do need to have courage. It was pretty courageous of Paul to leave his old life. I mean, he was top dog, right? Everything changed. So now, think about when he first converted, when he first got saved. Now he's a traitor. And now he's rolling up to, you know, all the Christian prayer circles. "Hey, guys." And they're like, "Whoa, whoa. Isn't this the dude who kills us? Watch him." You know, I'm sure it was awkward. It wasn't like hey. So he didn't fit anywhere. But he didn't care because he was all in. When you have the courage to change, you are all in, baby. That's where you will experience the fullness. When you have faith in God and his word, and it's like, "God, I have faith in you. Not even in me, not in others, not in circumstances, not my bank account. I have faith in you, and I'm having the courage to walk this out in a new way, Lord. And I'm all in, God. I'm all in." You will experience the fullness of that. You will reap the harvest of that kind of faith. Are you willing to change no matter what people think about you? That's courage. Are you willing? Oh, you say you want to be more of a godly man or a godly woman. Are you willing to have the courage to change in that? To read the word, to spend time with God, to really worship him. Let your pride down and really worship him, no matter who. I don't care who's looking at me. I don't care. I worship you. You say you want a better marriage. Are you willing to have the courage to learn how to love unconditionally? Have the courage to give grace excessively? To forgive constantly? And to die to the pride of self on the daily? Because you can have a good marriage if you have the courage to step out in that And like I said, you could have the courage to be the first one to do it. Because if you think you'll wait for them to change, oh man. Good luck. Have the courage to be the first one. You say you want more out of life. Are you willing to have the courage to do what it takes to have success? Sacrifice, dedication, focus, and consistency no matter what? Because that's what it takes. That's what it takes. You ain't getting a bunch of attaboys. You're not seeing that it's not raining dollar bills all over you, y'all. You're grinding. Second Peter 1, 3 and 4 says this. His divine power has given us everything we need to live a godly life. It's already here. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness, through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them we may participate. That takes action in the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Everything we need to have courage to change is in Jesus and the power of His Holy Spirit. We've already got it. We just need to have the courage to operate in it, to try it, to trust Him. You know, we say we love Jesus and we mean it. We do. We mean we love Jesus, but we can be a little afraid to try it His way sometimes. Can't we? That's bold. What do you mean? Love unconditionally. What do you mean forgive no matter what? Can be hard sometimes, but we have to have courage to do that because we will reap the harvest. God is faithful in that. The last one is having the courage to heal. Miracles of physical healing happen all the time, and it's awesome. It happens here at this church, and I love it when it does. But sometimes healing physically takes time and rehab and consistency in the healing process. The same goes with healing from our past. There's some things that miraculously have been lifted from us, but some things we're having to really work out. But having the courage to work it out is what I'm talking about today. Because God is faithful, and He wants us to be free from our past. Completely free. Because He sees us as we are. Whole, nothing missing, nothing broken, amazing, after His own likeness, because He sees us through the blood of Jesus. So, I do know this, that letting go of something or someone in our past that brought us pain, sadness, disappointment, or heartache is a massive accomplishment. It's a massive accomplishment to let somebody go that really screwed you up. You could say it's supernatural, but God can do it. He will do it. He has done it. We just need to release it to Him and let Him deal with it. It's all about our condition of our heart and what we choose to carry around in our minds. We can be renewed every day. We have the freedom to let people go. I give them to You, God. God, I pray a blessing over them, in fact, because You asked me to. I pray You bless their lives. That's how much I'm giving them to You. They did me so dirty, God, but I ask You to bless them. That's how much I want to let them go. That's how much I want to heal. I want to talk about a woman, Mark 5:25, who did this. And a woman was there who had the subject, who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from the suffering. And at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you ask who touched you? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. See, she had been the same way for 12 years. Nothing could fix her. And she, imagine her, and just the crowd around Jesus. She's ripping through people. I don't care. I don't care who gets mad at me. I don't care what I look like. I'm going to have experience with Jesus, and I'm going to heal from my past. I'm going to get it. I'm coming after you, Jesus. I'm going to have an experience with you. I'm going to touch you, even if it's just your cloak. And you're going to heal me. And Jesus says, your faith has healed you. He didn't say, I healed you. He said, your faith has healed you. Praise God. Hallelujah. So our faith, regardless of the situation or the people involved, will heal us. Our faith in his sovereignty, his supreme power and authority. That's what that means. Our faith in his word and the fact that he cannot lie. Our faith in his promises. Our faith in his commands. Our faith in his love and in that he is good. Our faith in his righteousness. Our faith in his forgiveness. Our faith in him and his blood that was shed for our sin. Our faith in his resurrection that brought us the ability to resurrect and have a life eternal. So we can have the courage to face our giants. So we can have the courage to walk in faith and not fear. So we can have the courage to change, because change is inevitable. And have the courage to heal. Amen? Let me pray for you guys. Father God, thank you for your church. I thank you for your word today, God. May it be planted in our hearts like rich soil that will bring fruit into our life. God, I pray for the courage for your people to execute in whatever way this week, that they would execute in their lives the opportunity to have courage and faith in you no matter what they see or what they're going through. God, shine your face upon your people and bless them this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. God bless you.